Fear the place, the circle, the locality where God is to be glorified. In fact, today will be the final lesson in this series on this subject. And I'm going to sort of try to see if I can get through what I have prepared to share with you today on this subject. This fear, the locality, the place, the circle where God is to be glorified. First, as an introduction, I deal with this particular aspect of the lesson as an introduction. And that is man's spiritual state of a fear. That is, as we are, as humanity is, as the world or any community is, our spiritual state of a fear. Place like the United States, you hear the talk about this, the state of the union. And that is the condition of all those states that make up the United States. The president usually speaks once a year on the subject, and it is called the State of the Union. What is the condition of those that comprise the United States? What is the condition of each state? Well, we are dealing now, what is the condition, our spiritual condition as we are? Keep in mind that our sin makes us strangers and enemies of God. Wait, not because God hates us, but because in our thoughts, in our words, in our action, so many go against God's will. So according to the passage in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, it tells us that our sin make us stranger. If you have it, read it.
And you.
You were sometimes alienated. Wait. I always take time off to point out this. This is... The passage is describing every man, every woman who has not submitted his or her life to Jesus Christ. And you.
That were sometimes alienated.
You were sometimes alienated. When you were not a child of God, when you were still in your sin, you were alienated.
And enemies in your mind.
You were enemies because of the things you think and that thinking condition your action. You were enemies in your mind.
By wicked words.
So I come back now to the point that our sin make us strangers and enemies. And alienate us from God. We are talking about the state of affair. This is all what I'll be saying over the next few minutes. Sort of introduction to help us understand when we go now to the passage that was read this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 or 20 through 21. When we get there, what I'm saying over the next few minutes will help you to understand better. Why is it that the Almighty God has stated that glorifying in his name, glorifying him, has to be done in the church and by the church. Why can't that be done by anybody anywhere else? What I'm saying here will help you to understand. Man's sin hinders and blocks. Yes. Man's sins hinder and block relationship, fellowship, and access and worship to God. Our sin hinders all of that. Men and women who have not turned their lives over to Jesus Christ, your sin hinders, it blocks relationship with God. It blocks and hinders fellowship with God. It blocks and hinders access to God. It blocks and hinders worship. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Chapter 2, 11 and 12. Let us hear it. Ephesians.
Wherefore,
remember
that ye being in time past Gentiles
again,
in the flesh.
And this time past was before they were Christian. And remember, the point that is being emphasized here is that our sin, when we live lives and we have not made commitment to Christ, which means our sins have not been dealt with because we have not come to Christ's way. That type of life that we live, it hinders and blocks relationship with God, fellowship with God, access to God, and worship.
Being in time past Gentiles in the flesh,
who
are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, ye were without Christ.
Wait. We were without Christ. Wait. I can live and tell myself, me know God is with me. Well, you know what? God have to know that. That's when that statement becomes substantial, when God knows that he's with you. You and I can claim almost anything in the world. So here the Bible is telling us how God sees us. Let me hear that little part again, brother, quick.
At that time, you were without Christ.
You were without Christ. May I just drop a little here, you know. This is why you cannot glorify God. Read on.
Being aliens. From the commonwealth of Israel.
And from the covenant.
Wealth of Israel.
Of Israel.
And strangers.
Strangers.
From the covenant of
promise.
Having no hope. And without God in the world.
This is not describing. While the passage read, in context, Paul was speaking to the Ephesians. But in application, it is speaking to you and me. Now, if we are children of God, what is said here can be said of us, that was our past, if we are children of God. But if you are not a child of God, if you have not become a Christian God's way, what the inspired writer is saying there is still relevant. You have just read verse 19 yet?
No, verse 12.
12. Step down to 17 through 19.
And came and preached peace to you
and he came and preached peace to you,
which were afar off,
which were afar, that's the Gentile,
and to them that were nigh,
and to them that were near. Watch here now, read.
For through him we both have access.
Wait. Through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Through Jesus Christ
we both have access.
Access.
By one Spirit unto the Father.
Wait. We do not have access without Jesus Christ. But wait, let me just drop this here. You have to be in Christ to have that access. Paul was speaking to those who have accepted Christ. Through him, that is verse 17?
18.
18. Read.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners.
That means you were previously a stranger and foreigner in God's sight. But now that you have become a child of God, God's way, you are no more so. We're looking at man's spiritual state of a fear. In fact, I'm tempted to share two or three more passages on the point, but I need to go on. The breach, the enmity, the alienation between you and God is mended only in Jesus Christ. I need to repeat that. The breach that sin created, the alienation, you're alien to one another, you have no communion, no fellowship, you and God, because of your sinfulness. The alienation between you and God is mended in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. And peace and fellowship between us and God is maintained, not only is something mended that had gone wrong through sin, but the fellowship we have with God, or can have with God, it is possible only through Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians again, chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 13 and verse 18.
But now in Christ Jesus.
But nothing, friends. You must always keep in mind when you read passages like this. For Christian, it is telling us what we were before we became Christian. For men and women who are not Christian, it matters not how deeply religious you are. Until you commit your life to Christ, these passages are describing you. What it just said there?
But now in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ye who sometimes were far off.
When you are not a child of God, you are far off. Read on.
Are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
You are made near only by the blood of Christ. And Jesus Christ has a way by which that blood is accessed. Verse 18, brother.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Through Jesus Christ. And only through Christ we have access. Meaning, Brother Mitchell, only through Jesus Christ you can have fellowship with God. Only through Jesus Christ you can have union with God. Only through Jesus Christ you can pray. Only through Jesus Christ you can consider yourself a child of God. And describe an obedient relationship with God. Relationship with you having with Christ. In Christ. to the presence of anyone. Access means we obey Jesus Christ. Man's sinfulness and spiritual condition carries terrible consequences both here and hereafter. Man's sinfulness, man's spiritual condition carries terrible consequences both here and hereafter. Before you or I can approach God, before you or I can worship God, before you or I can pray to God, before you or I can fellowship with God, our sins must first be addressed. That's right. Wait. Before we have access to God in prayer, before we are able to offer acceptable worship, before we can call on God as our Father, our sins must first be dealt with. That is a fact. Notice the first recorded worship in the Bible. The first time we see man, sinful men, going out to worship God. And there's something you're going to notice. Let us look at it in the passage of Genesis chapter 4, from verse 1 to around verse 5 or 6. Genesis.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife.
Adam knew Eve.
His wife.
And that knew them in knowing her intimately. They were wife and husband. Read.
And she conceived.
She got pregnant.
And bare Cain.
And she bare, gave birth to a son called Cain.
And said,
I have gotten a man from the Lord. Read.
And she again bare his brother
and
Abel.
And she again gave birth to another son, Cain's brother named Abel.
And Abel was a keeper of sheep.
Now he's telling you now their vocation, what they do to make a living. Abel
was a keeper of sheep.
Was a shepherd. He keeps sheep.
But Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Plant yam and potato. Watch here now.
And in process of time.
Now, notice this. That's the first worship recorded in the Bible. And the first instance, the first occurrence of any teaching in the Bible always possess a lot of information for us. And in process of time.
It came to pass. That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord.
That's worship. An offering. He offered God something.
And Abel, he also brought.
His brother Abel also brought.
Of the firstling of his flock.
Notice here. The fact that flock is mentioned, that's animal. Yeah. It's telling us that blood was involved. Brothers and sisters, that's going to make all the difference in the worship. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, but Abel brought the flock. The fatling of the flock. It means the flock had to be slaughtered. Blood had to be shed. Read.
The firstlings of his flock,
mm-hmm.
and of the fat thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering.
You all hear that? The Almighty God respected the man, and God respected his worship. But Brother Mitchell, not two of them are worship. Gotta go accept both of them. Let's see, you know, read on.
But unto Cain.
Notice now the contrast, the very word, but tell you that there's some contrast there. But unto Cain.
And to his offering.
And to his offering our worship.
He had not respect.
Wait. Did you know that the same thing is going on today around the world? Did you know that there are men all over that we are close to that church or that church is close to us? Doesn't mean that God is treating the two worship the same way. It depends on which of the worship goes by God's word. Wait, it does not even depend on your sincerity.
Sure.
Sincerity is important. But when that sincerity is not guided by the gospel of Christ, yeah. you are worshiping in vain.
Amen. Amen.
But remember, we came to this passage to show you that it was, we know, it was the blood offering that God calls for that made the difference in their worship. Because sins had to be dealt with. And sin to be dealt with called for blood. Look at what I'm showing is that our sin must first be addressed before we have access for prayer, fellowship with God, union. Our sins must first be dealt with in Christ. Look at one or two more passages. Exodus chapter 19, verse 10, and verse 21 and 22.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
Go unto the people.
Go unto the people.
And sanctify them today.
Wait. Sanctify them today. You know what that means? It means they must get themselves ready spiritually before they have any access. Read on. Sanctify them today.
And tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
And let them wash their clothes.
And let them wash their very clothes have to be washed.
And be ready against the third day.
And be ready again the third day.
For the third day, the Lord will come down into the sight of all the people upon
yes,
Mount Sinai.
Yes, that was Mount Sinai. Can you believe it? Yeah? That approaching the very hill of Mount Sinai. Because the place represented for that moment God's presence, the Israelite couldn't just galangso and come there any and any way.
Right.
In fact, you have read verse 10.
Yes.
Let us hear also verse 21 and 22.
And the Lord said unto Moses,
mm-hmm.
Go down.
Go down.
Charge the people.
Charge the people.
Lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze.
Lest they break through
unto the Lord to gaze.
Unto the Lord to gaze. They are curious to hear what's going on between God and Moses. Because they know God's presence was there. So they are curious what's going on.
And many of them perish.
You get it? God says, go down, Moses, because the people will break through. God had set a border at Mount Sinai, they shouldn't pass. Why? Because of the holiness of God. And God asked Moses to go down, because if the people break through, they will die. God will kill them. What verse was that?
That was verse 21.
Huh?
Verse 21. That was 21.
Okay. I'd said what, 19?
Yes.
Verse 21. 22 also.
And let the priests also.
And let what?
The priests also.
Now, the priest was God's representative that stand between God and the Israelite. Were they exempt from preparing themselves? No. Let the priests also,
which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves.
Wait. I like this word, come near to the Lord. They were the one who carry on worship, who directed worship, the priests. God fixed them for that. What it says here, start again, verse 22, I think.
And let the priests also.
Let the priests also.
Which come near to the Lord.
Which come near to the Lord. Wait. Remember, when we worship too, we come close to God.
Amen.
Worship is a special thing for God. Which come near to the Lord.
Sanctify themselves.
Set themselves apart.
Wait.
You cannot just galang so and come so when you are approaching God. So, lest
the Lord break forth upon them.
God will break forth upon them. What does that mean? God will kill them. All of this having to do with man's sinfulness and God's holiness. And that you cannot just approach God so and so or anyway. Your sin must first be addressed. One interesting passage. And that same Exodus chapter 30, verse 18 through 20. Quick, brother. Exodus chapter 30, verse 18.
But God led the people about.
Start again.
But God led the people about.
Uh-huh.
Through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And the children of Israel went up harnessed.
Is that Exodus chapter 30?
13.
30, 30. Really sound alike, brother. 13:30. Chapter 30. 18 through 20.
Thou shalt also make a laver of brass.
You must make a water pond or water pool, a laver. Make a big pool. God even going to tell him where it must be placed. Uh-huh.
And his foot also of brass.
And the foot of brass.
To wash withal.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation.
And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle and the congregation.
And the altar.
And the altar. Watch here. That big basin must be outside of the tabernacle. Remember, the tabernacle was where the priest and the high priest go and carry on worship. The priests were selected for that reason. Burnt the offering and what. So God is giving the regulation. Read on.
And thou shalt put water therein.
You must put water in the lava, the big pool. Uh-huh.
For Aaron and his sons.
Aaron and his sons, they were all priests. Uh-huh.
Shall wash their hands.
Shall wash their hands.
And their feet thereat.
And their feet
thereat.
Thereat, that is in the lava or the pool. Uh-huh.
When they go to the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water.
They shall wash with water.
That they die not.
That they die not. That's how important it was. What verse is that?
Verse 20.
Yes, that they die not. Well, Brother Mitchell, what all this washing It is a symbolic purification. It was absolutely necessary. What is the point? Man cannot approach God just any and any way. Our sins must be addressed, must be dealt with. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Remember, you know, before the priests go in the tabernacle and worship, they have to wash outside. Watch here. When I say to you, our beloved, honorable visitors, yes, we are glad to have. When I say to you that you cannot offer acceptable worship to God until you have given Jesus Christ the chance to address your sin, I'm telling you divine truth. Look at this passage. Hebrews chapter 10. I think I want verse 22 following.
Let us draw near.
Wait. Let us do what?
Draw near.
Passage is a call to worship. In fact, let me hear verse 21. About the high priest.
And having an high priest over the house of God.
Wait. Having an high priest over the church of Christ. But preacher, how do church of Christ people add to God's word? No. The house of God mentioned there in the verse is talking about the church. Jesus Christ is head of the church. And the Bible, wait, the passage is a call to worship. But what you and I are interested in is to notice some of the preconditions to worship. Therefore, having an high priest over the house of God,
Let us draw near.
Thus, it is talking about worship. When God's people worship God, you draw near to Him. But watch here now.
With a true heart.
Wait. You need to notice now the precondition. Those conditions that must be met before you can offer worship to God. Let us draw near.
With a true heart.
Our heart must be genuine and sincere.
In full assurance of faith.
We must come to God in worship with faith.
Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience.
We must come to God in worship. When we are coming to worship, we must have a clear conscience.
And our bodies washed with pure water.
You must be baptized before you can worship. Wait, having our bodies washed with pure water, I talk about baptism. So here the passage is calling Christian to worship. But it is laying down the precondition. You cannot worship God until sins are dealt with. Are we there? Notice the salutation in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2.
Unto the church of God.
Notice this, unto the church of God.
Which is at Corinth. To them that are
sanctified. Wait, take time with us dear brother. To them that are
sanctified in Christ
wait,
Jesus.
Wait, somebody didn't hear that. If you didn't know, if the Corinthians didn't know who was being addressed. One, it is unto the church of God. That is at Corinth. But watch here.
To them that are sanctified.
That is, you must be set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. God's people are set apart by the blood of Christ.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Called to be saints. With all that is in every place, called upon the name of our Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the proceeding, all that I've been saying over the past 20 or so minutes should help us to see and appreciate the divine reasoning and logic in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Let us hear that passage now. All that I've been saying, as I've said, over the past 20 or so minutes is to prepare us now for what I'm about to say, to help us understand when the Almighty God speaks there in the passage of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Let us hear it.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages.
Unto him be glory
in the church.
In the church.
By Christ Jesus.
The King James translator that put by there, both as it refers to the church, is it's the same word that is translated in the church, is the same word, or in Christ, is the one word that precede both church and Christ. And that is, read it again, brother.
Unto him be glory in the church.
In the church.
By Christ Jesus.
And in Christ Jesus.
Throughout.
What is the point? Ladies and gentlemen, the holy, the all wise, the all-powerful Almighty God fix it and determine it that his glorification or glorifying the Almighty God through Christ, it must be done in the church and in Christ. Nowhere else can glory be given to the Almighty God if it's not given in Christ and in the church that Christ built. The passage the brothers just read, listen it again, because before I proceed, I want to make sure you remember that it was found here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, 21. Let us hear it.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the
unto
church.
Unto him, that is unto the Almighty God, be glory
in the church.
In the church.
By Christ Jesus.
And glory in Christ Jesus. Saying, if you are going to glorify God, you have to be in Christ. If you are going to glorify God, you have to be in the church. That's what that passage. That's not the only passage, you know. But I'm going to see if I can, over the next few minutes, cover that And probably in another sermon, weeks, months, or years to come, God's willing, we'll look at more. The church of Christ is the place. It is the sphere. It is the enclosed. It is the circle. It is the locality. It is the called out in and where God is to be glorified. In his church. But somebody asked, Brother Mitchell, is glorifying God to be given in Christ or in the church? Your question, I appreciate. Is it to be done in the church or in Jesus Christ? Let me explain. In Christ and in the church, well, let me put it this, to be in Christ and to be in the church are simultaneous action. So notice the passage the brother read, that glory to him in Christ or in the church and by Christ, it's really in Christ and in the church. And as I've said, when the Bible talks about in Christ and in the church, you might be wondering, how do I get? The question you ask is it to be done in Christ or in the church? Whenever it is done in Christ, it is done in the church. And whenever it is done in the church, that is the true church, it is done in Christ. Because to be in the church and to be in Christ take place simultaneously. The very same time you get in Christ is the very same time you get in his church. You want book, chapter, and verse for that? The book is Galatians. The chapter is 3. The verse is 26 and 27. Let us hear it. We'll talk about in Christ and in the church is the same thing. It takes place the very same time. Let us hear Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27.
For ye are all the children of God.
You are all the children of God.
By faith in Christ Jesus.
By faith. Watch here. Wait, I like him add this business about you are the children of God. It is by faith, but it is in
Christ Jesus.
You see, I circle that in because it's important. I tell you that in Christ describe an obedient relationship. In fact, let me expand a little. It described that relationship where you hear God's word, you believe in what the truth you have been told, you believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and your Savior, and you as a result of that belief, you repent of your sin, and then you are willing to confess Christ's name, and you submit yourself to baptism. In Christ, describe a man or woman who have gone through those processes. It's an obedient relationship with Christ. And what you have just read there, brother?
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Notice we are children of God in Christ Jesus. You notice that? The preacher said, tell them the Bible says so. Now, notice though, it's going to tell you how to get where you need to get.
For?
Wait, now take time with me. Where do you need to get? In Christ Jesus.
Yes.
This tells you that's where you are going to become a child of God. In Christ Jesus.
Right.
Now, tell us now how to get there. Verse 27.
For?
For
as many of you as have been into Christ.
What you do to get there?
Baptized into Christ.
What do you do to get in Christ?
Baptized into Christ.
What do you do to get into Christ?
Baptized into Christ.
And that's the only way to get in Christ. But Mr. Mitchell, you had said it was simultaneous. That means getting in Christ and getting in his body, his church, is the same thing. Where you find 2 Corinthians? Is it chapter 7? Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians, one spirit, that is the administration of one spirit.
Are we all baptized into one body?
You all hear that? How do you get in Christ? You baptize. How do you get in his body, the church? You baptize. So the Bible speaks about glorifying God in Christ and in the church. The Bible, the inspired writer, in fact, the Holy Spirit, knew that the very time you are baptized in the church, you are baptized in Christ. And the very time you are baptized in Christ, you are baptized in his church. They are simultaneous action. May I? The church is fitted. The church is set apart by Jesus Christ for the very purpose of glorifying the Almighty God. That's the church. Look at 2 Corinthians. Let me hear 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11.
Know ye not?
Don't you know
that the unrighteous shall not?
The unrighteous, watch you now. The unrighteous shall not
inherit the kingdom of God.
Wait, if you have not turned to Jesus Christ in obedience, for him to transform your unrighteous life into a righteous one, you're not going to be saved. You're going to that other place. Start again.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived.
Don't fool yourself.
Neither fornicators.
Neither fornicator, that's sexual immorality.
Nor idolaters.
Nor idolaters, that is when you put anything before God.
Nor adulterers.
Nor adulterer, fornication.
Nor effeminate.
Nor effeminate, a man that is acting like a woman.
Nor abusers.
Nor abusers.
Of themselves.
Of themselves with mankind.
Nor thieves.
Nor thieves.
Nor covetous.
Nor covetous.
Nor drunkard.
Nor drunkard.
Nor revelers.
Nor revelers.
Nor extortioners.
Nor extortioners.
Shall inherit the kingdom of God.
They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It made a list here of these are not all the sin that will take men and women to hell. Just some. But watch here now. Read on, brother.
And such.
And such.
Were some of you.
Were some of you.
But ye are.
Wait. All the sins mentioned, Paul says, before you were converted, such were some of you. But watch now the but.
But. Ye are washed.
Wait, remember what I said, that the church of Christ is set apart by Jesus Christ for the very purpose of giving God glory. And part of how God set the church apart, the Christian, the verse the brother is reading now tell us, but you are?
But ye are washed.
You are washed. That is talking about baptism.
But ye are sanctified.
You are set apart.
But
You are justified.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
And by the Spirit of
God. And by the Spirit. Look here. We are wrapping up. We're Christ. Is not known, believed in, submitted to. God's glory is not seen or acknowledged. Wherever men live, and they do not know Christ, they do not believe in Christ to the extent that they submit their lives to Him. They are not submitted to His will. Where that exists, God's glory is neither seen nor acknowledged. The point is, you have to be at the place and in a position to see and appreciate God's glory, and that God is to be glorified. This you cannot do when you're outside of Christ. Watch here. Only in Christ can men see, can men reverence and glorify or appreciate the glory of God. I repeat, only in Christ can men and women see, can men and women reverence, can men and women appreciate the glory, not only of God's wisdom, of God's power, and of God's intellect, but only then, when you are in Jesus Christ, in that proximity to the Almighty God through Christ, only when you are there you can appreciate the tenderness of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the forbearance of God, the purity of God, the faithfulness of God, the boundless compassion of God. Only when men and women are in Jesus Christ can they really appreciate the fact that God is to be glorified. As long as you are outside of Christ, meaning as long as you remain an unbeliever, there are certain things you just cannot appreciate. Much more to participate in doing it. That's why the glory to God can be given only in the church. You have to be in the body of Christ and in Christ. Through Jesus Christ and in Christ, the Christian is brought in the knowledge and in the appreciation of God's glory through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, are you a religious man or woman? That's wonderful. Are you a seeker of God's truth? That's good. May I? Men and women who are seeking God, God noticed that. That's right. But you are not a child of God, and you are still cut off from certain blessing and understanding. But God appreciates when you are seeking Him. What it says. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to them that diligently. If you are seeking God, God will work with you if you are really seeking God. But until you reach that point where you are in Christ, there are certain access and blessing that is not yours. That's a fact. Only one who knew God could have written Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Talking about God's glory, only a man who knew God could have penned a Psalms like that. An ungodly unbeliever cannot, because they do not appreciate the fact that God is to be glorified. You have to be within a certain proximity to God, a certain relationship. So this is why God fixed it, that he be glorified in the church, and you have to be in Christ to be able to do that. Just as I close, the word glorify means to recognize, it means to honor, it means to praise, it means to invest with dignity, it means to acknowledge one as important. Every act of worship is an act in glorifying God. Always remember that. Every act of worship we engage in scripturally, we are glorifying God. When we sing, we are glorifying God. When we give, we are glorifying God. When we pray, we are glorifying God. When we commune, we are glorifying God. Every act of worship is an act in glorifying God. But remember, there are certain things only a child of God have the right to do. And glorifying God is the prerogative of the Christian and the church. If you are here today, you are not a child of God, you can step forward. We are about to sing a song. That song will be sung to the honor and glory of God's name. But it is an appropriate time for you to respond to Jesus' invitation. You'd like to become a Christian. You'd like to repent and get baptized so that Jesus Christ can deal with your sins through his blood. As we sing, you can step forward. Are you a man or woman who have backslidden? You were once a faithful Christian, a trying Christian, but you have permitted Satan and the world and sin to pull you away. There is no better time than now. Why now, Brother Mitchell? Because God has given us now. He has not given us next week or tomorrow. So you can step forward. Christ loves you. He died for you. He has founded his church for you to be a part of that family.